Welcome to the JenningsWire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Emerald Kaufman. I'm the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a special community of bloggers and podcasters that is capturing the heart of America. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that's just right for you. And today's guest is Stefan Deutsch, a trained SALT psychotherapist and founder of the Human Development Company. He is author of the book, I Know You Love Me and You Know I Love You, which is part of his national campaign to reduce divorce by 20% by the year 2020. So welcome, Stefan.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on. I want to thank Annie and yourself, Stacey, and I'm looking forward to a fun podcast here.
Yes, absolutely. So let's talk about what your theory of love is and how understanding it and applying it to your relationship and your life and your marriage and family can save a marriage.
Great. I'd love to do that. We have a lot to cover, so I'm just going to try to be very succinct and brief. But when you ask people what is love, most people have an idea. They can respond to it. And what we've discovered lately is something that I predicted and theorized many decades ago, that love actually is nourishment. So it's a different way of thinking about love, rather than that kind of soup that has a lot of romance in it. It is literally like air, food, and water. I used to think, why do we feel so deprived? Where's the pain coming from? And why is there pain when we're deprived of love? And why do we feel so energized? And why do we thrive when people behave lovingly towards us? Logic told me that what we're looking at is something very, very similar to the way we respond to having air, food, and water, primarily food and water, because air is an absolute necessity, and the way we respond to the deprivation of food and water. So I've been working with that concept, and it has very important implications. Once we start thinking of love as nourishment, now there is that confusion between romance and love, and the best way to think about romance is kind of like a roller coaster in an amusement park. You know, you get on it; it's very exciting. It's a biological attraction that we have. We're a species that procreates, so we really need that energy, and so that roller coaster is exciting, and we get on, and we want to get back on. But when we get hungry, we have to go to the food court. We're looking for nourishment. And that's the part that I call love. It's that nourishing part. And science has recently begun to validate my hypothesis and is beginning to show that, in fact, love is nourishment. So what does that mean? What does that mean in terms of the way we need to behave with ourselves and interact with other people? It's a total game changer. We've been working with... Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Stace.
Oh, I was just going to ask you. It is a game changer, and you talk about it being nourishment, and you also say that you need 3 square meals of love every day.
Absolutely.
Because it's nourishment. So what is that? How do you get those meals, and what do you mean by that?
Yeah. We know that when the infant comes out of the womb, they had nourishment supplied immediately. Now they need to begin to ask for it. And again, you know, the outside environment supplies this nourishment unconditionally to them. And when it comes to food and water, we basically, as a culture, as a society, as human beings, teach the infant to become self-sufficient. So they go from the nipple to the bottle. From the bottle, we teach them how to use a knife and fork, and then eventually we tell them to go to the fridge and get it themselves, and then we leave a little note, warm it up, you know, put it in the microwave. The whole process is teaching a human being to become self-sufficient when it comes to these life-sustaining nourishments. And eventually, we hope that someone is going to get a job, buy their own food, cook their own food, eat their own food. And as parents, as a society, we're done. Now, if love is nourishment, and again, in the womb, it's an unconditional environment, the first year or two until terrible twos, you know, we're still very unconditional and we supply this love. And so our brain gets wired that this thing called love comes from the outside. But the problem is we're never taught to become self-sufficient in terms of loving ourselves, because we don't think of love as a nourishment. We kind of have this romantic soup, sleepless in Seattle, and, you know, Shakespearean sonnets and love songs and all that kinds of stuff. So we really are living in a confused state when it is that we think about love and how important it is and how we need to go about getting it. And, you know, one of the things people ask is, so where does love come from? Well, if it comes from people like our parents and from the outside, and we're able to give it to people in our lives, then obviously it must come from people. You know, it comes from inside of us. We have this amazing generator that is able to generate this energy. It's also able to withhold this energy. Now, because we're not taught to be self-sufficient for the rest of our lives, we're looking for love outside. We're looking for relationships. We get married for this reason. And we also get very disappointed when we realize that someone who behaved very unconditionally and very lovingly while we were dating and while we were engaged and even through the honeymoon period doesn't seem to be supplying love unconditionally after a period of time. It seems to be more and more conditional. And so the game changer here is that it is possible to teach people to love themselves and to understand that all it is the three square meals, just like we supply that nourishment to ourselves because we're adults. We need to learn, and of course parents knowing this need to begin to teach their children how to actually love themselves unconditionally by loving them unconditionally and loving themselves. But just getting to the adults, we can train adults to behave unconditionally with themselves. And first and foremost is to start to become aware of when we are behaving conditionally with ourselves and when we are being more unconditionally. We have that little voice in our head that is criticizes us and is impatient with us and sometimes does things that we kind of lose our own self-respect and we don't accept ourselves the way we are and we don't fully appreciate ourselves. We're actually do a better job being a best friend. We're more unconditional, we're more loving with a best friend than we often are with ourselves. But again, this all comes back to understanding that love is nourishment. So we need to make a much more concerted effort in understanding, becoming aware, and becoming aware of our behaviors vis-a-vis ourselves, other people. And we actually, that concept that we deserve to be loved unconditionally by ourselves and others is generally a difficult concept for people. Because the way we're brought up is pretty much conditional. The school system is a very conditional, judgmental system. Our little friends are conditional. One day they like us, one day they don't like us. And our parents unwittingly and certainly unintentionally withhold love. And they don't think they are, but when they become impatient with us, when they ignore us, when they raise their voice and any number of other behaviors, they're actually withholding nourishment from the child that they love with all their heart, and then they would give their life for this child. So this new understanding of what love is incredibly, incredibly important. And in working with couples, it has made all the difference in the world. When a couple come in to work with me, what they want to tell me the story and kind of point fingers and of course it's always the other person's fault, et cetera, we've fallen out of love. I have them sit face each other, and the first things I teach them to say to each other is the thing that in their heart they've been waiting to hear and haven't heard maybe for years, if not longer, is that I know you love me, and you know that I love you. And this is really an icebreaker for a couple, because it acknowledges the truth that they kind of lost their way, and they lost their way for a number of different reasons. One is because we don't understand that love is nourishment, so we stop behaving after the honeymoon period. We stop trying so hard to really be thoughtful and appreciative and accepting and really listen to the other person and be patient with the other person and be respectful. We just don't work at it as hard. And the second part is that we don't know how to love ourselves. We don't know how to nourish ourselves. So we need it so much from the spouse. Now, what happens here is after a short time, people start to feel better about themselves. You know, their self-esteem, their love, they're actually loving themselves more. One of the things we do is we kind of listen to that little voice. I give them exercises. So go home and start to become aware of when you're conditional with yourself, when you're not being loving with yourself. And they come back and it's very similar. You know, people will say, you know, I just criticize myself and I just don't like the way I look and I don't have patience when I don't learn something. And so little by little, it's about giving yourself what you would to a best friend, becoming more patient, becoming more accepting, becoming more respectful with yourself. And as they start to love themselves more and need their spouse a little bit less, now we can begin to attend to some of the issues and tools that are necessary to really foster this new way of being. And that is, of course, communication, listening skills. The awareness is what we start with, creating a vision for the marriage that is close and loving and nurturing. And it's very exciting. You know, I mean, we've found that it works incredibly for couples. And so that's where that campaign, Saving a Marriage Saves a Family, comes from, because it is so heartbreaking to see people who loved each other and just are missing the right context, concepts, and tools to get back to that place, you know, choose something like divorce and be very angry very often going through that process, and creates poverty. Lawyers get rich and people get poor and children do poorly in school. So we have this campaign. We have a live events that we're working with called Forever Love for Couples. And it's just been very, very exciting.
Thank you so much, Stefan. We really appreciate all of your amazing insight into this. And unfortunately, we don't have any more time, but I would love to be able to urge our listeners to check out Stefan Deutsch's website, www.thdc.org. That is the Human Develop Company. So THD is in development, C is in company, .org. And you'll be able to learn more about Stefan's book, I Know You Love Me, and You Know I Love You, the enrichment seminars, which are all part of the national campaign, Saving a Marriage Saves a Family. They are on a mission to reduce divorce by 20% by the year 2020. So again, please visit that website, www.thdc.org. Thank you, Stefan, for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Stacy.
And this podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm, Annie Jennings PR, the creator of JenningsWire Online Magazine. JenningsWire is capturing the heart of America with its rich community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers and podcasters. Please visit JenningsWire.com, discover the blogger just right for you. Till next time.